You know, one of the major signs of a growing church, we do something that ain't in the bulletin. Yeah. Have I just lost it? Or is that true? Couldn't that possibly be true? Just every now and then it's a little bit different than what we might have expected. I'm just guessing that the Holy Spirit's up there just smiling. I love that. Come on, Nicholas. This young man has been so good. Since the Lord got a hold of him, he's volunteered to read for me every week, or near about every week, and I appreciate it greatly.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God let thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no, and thou humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee, now that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And let me guess, you never have used thee and thou that much in your whole life, have you? You can thank King James. He'll be happy to know that you liked it. Amen, brother. In case you're wondering, that's from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. So if you'll turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. Now, I really do appreciate Nicholas. I've left that offer out there for anybody else that would like to read. So if you'd like to come up here and read some Sunday morning, age is not a restriction, okay? We'll be happy to have you come and read. Moses spoke a long time to the children of Israel, and the book of Deuteronomy has a lot to do with his speaking before the people. And I went back and read the chapters up to this point. And if you go back and take a look at it, he recites a lot of the history of the children of Israel in their ears in order to let them know how blessed they are as a people and how wonderful their God is. And you know, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you and among your cattle, and the Lord will take away from thee sickness and put none of the diseases that Egypt had had. And Moses was trying to get their attention to let them understand what an awesome God was watching over them. And today we can celebrate that same thing. When you get down to chapter 8, verse 1 basically says, "And the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do." And then why would that be? "That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." If we go back in history, we begin to realize that God had given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob the promised land. He told them it was going to be theirs. Some time would take place between the telling and the receiving. And Moses was one of those ministers in between that time. And he just simply told them, here's what you need to do. You need to pay attention to what it is God wants you to do. You should follow him. You should observe to do those things that he has commanded you to do. And if you do that, things are going to be well for you. I know in this particular day and time that we live in this culture that we live in, that we are sometimes overloaded with stress. The title of this message is Meekness or Madness. You choose. And what it amounts to is that kind of stress is a part of everybody's life. It shows in our bodies, it shows in our relationships, it shows with our relationship with God. And Moses wanted these folks to understand the journey into the promised land was not going to be a picnic. They were going to have to go in and fight the people that already lived there, but God had promised that land to them, and success was guaranteed if they followed the clear instruction of God. If they did what he told them to do, and they did not do what he told them not to do, they would be successful. Book of Joshua, tremendous book, starts out very clearly. If you do what I said, don't turn to the right or to the left. Every place you put your foot down is yours by promise of God. So that don't get any higher than that. So Moses was reminding them that these things weren't suggestions from God. We have the same kind of situation when we read the Word of God. There are plenty of things in here that are commands. They aren't suggestions. We've talked about that many weeks from this pulpit. So stress is an ever-going thing. We have to make a living. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to negotiate a planet that doesn't understand who we are as Christians or doesn't want to understand. And there's another thing. It's called intimacy. And sometimes it's missing to a large degree in our lives, to our relationships with one another, even to our relationship with God. Sometimes it's hard to find the time for it. And it takes time to really get to know somebody. And I've mentioned this over and over again, and I still believe it with all my heart. We serve God to the degree that we know Him. If you love somebody, your desire is to get to know them. And I've shared with you that back when I was dating Diane, I couldn't have enough time with her. And if you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. Sometimes you and I as believers, we find it difficult. We find it hard to find the time to be intimate with God. But He wants that. He wants to know us well. And He does. And He wants us to know Him well. And then that's a whole process with time. It's a commodity you wish you could buy. And if you could buy some time, you'd use it to buy some peace and some quiet and some leisure and to do some things that maybe you've always wanted to do and that you didn't get to do up until that point. And you wouldn't want to have to do them in a rush. So basically, when you look at all that, and this is not news to anybody here, the life that we have has a certain level of tension built into it, a certain level of difficulty that we have to face. But I want to share with you something this morning that might give you a completely different look at the tension that you and I have to live in. Sometimes God will allow those things in my life and in your life, and the purpose for that is that it's creative tension. It's not life-sapping tension. It's a creative kind of tension where He allows things to come into your life because there are things that He wants to build into your life. Think about the oyster. I can eat them a couple of ways, can't eat them raw. But I understand that a pearl is the result of a grain of sand caught inside of an oyster and the tension that it brings for a period of time ultimately results in a pearl. Go figure. Is it possible that God would be such a kind of God that He would allow that same kind of tension to be in my life and in your life, so that we would depend more on Him and less on our own selves, but He would allow it to be there in order to produce in us something that could not be produced otherwise. That's a novel thought, isn't it? Well, God, I'm praying to ask You to take care of me. I'm asking You to relieve me from the pain. I'm asking You to take the stress away. I'm asking You to move the tension out of my life. I'd like to have a level of peace. Excuse me, and I don't know very many Christians that haven't at some point in time prayed that prayer. God, I'd just like to have a day off, okay? You know, between my ears, I'd like to have a day off. I'm tired of thinking through this process. But does it ever dawn on us that our Heavenly Father just might have a plan for that to be in our lives? I'm certain that the oyster is not having a really good time. It probably hates the process, but the result is amazing. And I want to share with you what I think and what I think the Bible teaches us about some things that God does from time to time to help us. One thing we know for sure, there's no easy way to answer all the questions. Few of us cope well with unrelenting stress. It's destructive in our marriages and in our families and in our lives, and sometimes our lives fall apart because of that. People run away, people withdraw, people explode, people crash and they burn out. And you say, why? Why is that? Well, I don't think there's an absolute, completely all-encompassing answer, but I do know one thing for sure. It happens, part of the reason it happens is because our values are distorted and our philosophies and our pressures in our life are a product of this high-stress society and this high-stress age that we live in. I've heard people say, well, I need to come to church to get my batteries recharged. because when I step out the doors, I'm in a world that don't understand me. I'm in a world that don't appreciate me because of my faith. I'm in a world that thinks I'm off my rocker because of the things that I do for the cause of Christ. There's no easy and all-encompassing answer. What we do know for sure is that oftentimes when those moments happen in our lives, we react when God wants us to respond. You say, oh, that's just semantics. You're just messing with words. Well, guess what? Maybe so. But if you look up the dictionary definition of react and respond, I promise you it's not the same. And I won't bore you with that today by going through those definitions. But consider this. Could it possibly be that at some point in time in this response to God, that he might change our mind about certain things, that he might enlarge our spiritual understanding of certain things? Oftentimes we don't stop long enough to consider the future, what the cost is. Am I going to be able to pay the kind of price for the behavior that I'm exhibiting and the choices that I'm making? We simply move, and oftentimes we react to the immediate things that are there, and I can assure you that all movement, folks, is not progress. Just because you're busy, that doesn't mean you're going somewhere. And I can prove that to you, but I don't have a hammer and a nail. But if I did, I could ask my brother Paul to come up here on the stage, and I would take the hammer and the nail, and I would put it right here in the very end of his shoe of his left foot, and I would nail that shoe with his foot still in it, not through your foot, by the way. I love you a little more than that, okay? And then I would ask him to move. And you guess what he would do? And he could do that till he couldn't stand any longer. And he's in the same place he started. So all movement, folks, is not progress. So we have to understand, sometimes we fight these moments that God allows in our life and we react to them in negative ways, both emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And we ask questions like, God, why'd you let this happen? And on and on and on and on. And it's amazing to me what happens sometimes if you can just slow down a little bit. Y'all have heard me ask this before, and I'll ask it again. I'll say it again. What do you get when you squeeze an orange? Most people are going to say orange juice because that makes sense. But the reality of the matter is you get whatever's inside. And that's what happens with life as well. And because of the stressful moments and the stressful world that we live in, when our culture and our world begins to squeeze us like an orange, what comes out of us is whatever is inside. And oftentimes, folks, that's a reaction, not a response. So it happens when we face some of life's most difficult disappointments. We react in the flesh. It robs us of those things that God wants to teach us while we're following in the Spirit. We could say things like, Lord, I don't understand what is going on in my life today, but because I trust you and I trust that you're going to take perfect care of my life, what is it that you'd like for me to learn while I'm here? You see, that's a response. That's not a reaction. A reaction is why did you let that happen to me? I thought you were taking care of me. Don't you care more for me than that? And on and on and on. And listen, I've been on both sides of the wagon, okay? And maybe most of us have been. You know, I've said some things to God that wasn't real friendly. I've said some things to God I wouldn't dare say from this pulpit. Maybe you'd have too. I'm not trying to play holier than thou. I'm just simply telling you, as a human being, there are times when my spiritual life is not on its A game. There are moments when I would like to accuse God of not paying close enough attention. I'd like to tell him, why this, why now, and for how long, and I don't get it. But you know what? It's interesting. When you slow down long enough to respond and give God the credit for taking perfect care of your life, which he does, maybe there's just something there. I believe that God has made provision for each and every one of us to be able to handle the stressful, disappointing moments in our life. And you say, well, what in the world could that possibly be? What is that provision? It is him through the Holy Spirit. Yes. Was not the Holy Spirit given by Jesus when he ascended to walk and live, to live within us, to strengthen us, to comfort us when we hurt, to convict us when we need to be convicted, to confirm us when we are doing and saying the right things? The Holy Spirit does all of those things. You know, and this liberating response is kind of wrapped up in a single word. And if you grasp the meaning of that single word, you put it into action in your life through the Lord's grace and power, you're going to know how to walk in the Spirit of God in complete control. And that even though the wheels might come off, you don't lose your composure, and you learn how to respond to the leadership and the allowance of the Spirit of God rather than reacting. It's just a completely different world. Every circumstance in your life can be handled by the Spirit of God. It's His power living in you and I, accessed by a willingness to respond. That word is meekness. Don't sound like much. To most people, it sounds like weakness. Oh, if you're meek and mild and easy, that means you have no spine. No, that's not at all what that means. It's humility in the control of the Spirit of God. It is a willingness to trust Him to handle the things that you and I can't handle. It carries the idea of humility and submission and bringing yourself low. Well, how does that work? Well, since meekness is the key to this right response, God is at work to build meekness into our innermost being. So here's the deal. If meekness is the key to me being able to respond instead of being able to react, if meekness is the key to me asking and pleading with the Holy Spirit to strengthen me in the areas where I'm weak and where I fail, if meekness is the key to me being able to appropriately handle the stressful moments that get handed my way, because of the world that I live in, how do you get to that place? How does He work meekness into our character? I'm fixing to stop preaching and go to meddling. He does that with disappointments and frustrations and stressful moments. And moments that are bigger than you and I, and we just need to learn to own it. God, this is bigger than me. But it's not bigger than you, because nothing's bigger than you. So God is willing to allow certain things to be delivered into our life to His chosen people that He loves dearly and has sent His Son to die for in order to build meekness into our character. But guess what? He started a long time ago. I'm going to reiterate those verses that Nicholas read earlier. Chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. This is Moses, and he's speaking to the children of Israel. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. For what purpose? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. Scholars who have studied the Old Testament and looked at the geography of the trip from Egypt to the Promised Land, and they have said that it would not have taken more than 18 months. And they had their chance at Kadesh Barnea when they sent out spies to go view the land and to see what was there. And they came back, and the report of 10 out of the 12 spies was, well, they're way bigger than us. And yeah, the land's got great fruit in it, but there's strong cities and they're walled cities and their armies are huge and some of their people are like giants and there's just no way we're going to be able to do this. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, listen, our God can handle this. There's nothing our God can't handle. We need to go now. We need to go now. And unfortunately, the 10 won out and the people did not go, and they wandered around in the wilderness for nearly 40 years. And why is that? Because their God was not bigger than their problems. I don't want you to ever feel like I'm talking down to you. What I'm saying to you, church, is this. It's not complicated. God is waiting for you and I to respond to the working and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and oftentimes He does some of His very best work in our most disappointing and stressful moments. Do I like them? Probably not. Do you? Probably not. If I could choose something different, I probably would. But God has a plan. He said, I have led you through this wilderness these 40 years to humble you. That's a big old price to pay for being unwilling to trust Him. But God did something in their life that anything less would not have accomplished. And He led them through there. He said, I'll put this out here to humble you and to prove thee. I need to know whether or not your heart is for real for me. I need to know whether or not you're going to follow me, whether you're going to trust me, whether you're going to respond to my leadership through the Holy Spirit, or whether or not you're going to react and choose your own way and walk away. And I love verse 3, because he's kind of looking back. And he said, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Listen, they were on the move constantly. They didn't have time to plant and grow crops. They weren't able to provide their own food on the move. They didn't have a drive-through restaurant like you and I have today. They had to do it the way, and they had to depend on God to make sure that they could get something to eat, to make sure they could get something to drink. And the testimony of that travel through the wilderness showed God to be absolutely 100% faithful all the time. Why is that? Because that's what He does. And that's the God that you and I can count on. That's the God we can believe in. That's the God we can trust. And Moses said to them, and He did humble you. And you wandered around out here for 40 years, and you were hungry. He let you get hungry. But then what did He do? In the middle of your complaining and whining, He sent manna to you. Yeah. Which you didn't know what that stuff was. Neither did your fathers know. But He said, but that He might make thee know that man don't live just by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. In other words, God was teaching them, your greatest trust in anything in this world will be Me. Trust in Me. I am your God. You are My people. I'm not restricted in any place or by any time or by anyone. There's nothing that I cannot do. And oftentimes I will do those things. And listen to these words. We didn't read those this morning, but consider this. Thy raiment waxed not old up on thee. You kidding me? How many of you got clothes from 40 years ago? That's exactly what I thought. You got clothes from 40 years ago? And you too? Well, you just killed my illustration. Are you wearing it? Now, don't know where the suitcase is that you put it in? Okay, three of us got clothes from 40 years ago. Oh, Paul, I may need you, brother. But neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Sometimes I can't walk around the house three times without my feet hurting or swelling. But God said, you've been out there for 40 years and your clothes didn't even wear out and your feet didn't swell from the walking. Who do you think provided that for you? And this is not God reminding them. This is Moses reminding them, because he is the guy that had the unfortunate task of trying to lead these people. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass when thou hast eaten and art full. Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, get this, to do thee good at thy latter end. That's God's plan. I took you out there, and you could have ended this a long, long time ago, but you wouldn't trust me. But I led you through scorpions and critters and all kinds of things that would damage you. I led you through a place where you had no water. Could not have had any water because there was none there to have. And you were very thirsty. And I provided for you water out of a rock. And you were constantly moving, so you had no chance to plant and reap a harvest. But I fed you with manna. And you asked me, what is this stuff? Would you believe the root word for manna means what is this? Yeah, I thought, that's kind of cool. God's got a sense of humor. You know? What is this? Well, that's what we call that. What is this? But God gave it to them when they needed it. Gave them clear instructions. Go out and pick it for one day. That's all you get is one day. And you do it every day until you get to the day before the Sabbath. And then when you go out, you can pick it for 2 days. But if you pick it any other way, it's not going to work out. So some of them took him to the test, like they always do, like we always do. We put God to the test. And they went out and they picked 2 days worth because they wanted tomorrow off. And when they went to get the stuff that they wanted to eat, it had turned into worms. Why is that? Because God was very clear about what he expected. You pick it one day at a time. Good song, too, by the way. I will provide this for you one day at a time. And when you look at the whole big picture, you think about, God, what is it exactly that you're doing here? You are teaching your people that they need to be humble. We need to be humble. And sometimes getting to that place of meekness requires us to go through things that we wouldn't choose for ourselves, to struggle through stuff that don't seem like it could possibly be of God. I mean, he fed them. He took care of them. He was teaching them a lesson about meekness. And he humbled them, and Moses recognized the word that he humbled them. And guess what the root word for humble comes from, what it actually means? To afflict or to oppress. How does God make you and I humble so that we learn to respond instead of react? He sends us and allows into our life moments of affliction and oppression. And if we learn to trust on in him and lean on him and respond to the things that we face, what character characteristic is built into our life is a meekness which is strength under control, and God gets the glory. And we get the growth. If I were to go around with a pencil and paper this morning and start in the front and go to the back and ask you, do you have anything in your life that causes you stress? I might need a couple of pads. Okay. But if I went and asked you a completely different question, is God working with you through this stress in your life to create in you the person that He wants you to be? How many yeses would we get? You see what I'm saying? I wish I could promise you that because you love Jesus Christ and because you are a member of the church and because you show up on Sunday mornings and you worship Him and we sing and we pray and we laugh and we fellowship together and we preach and we teach and we have a moment and we go home. I wish I could tell you that that's all you needed to make your life go smooth and well. That's not even biblical, much less something that I could be willing to share with you. We know that outside of those doors is a world and a culture that knows so little about what we really are all about, or if they know a lot about it, they're going to use it against us. Will you let Him be God? Because He doesn't do this to destroy you. He does this to build you. He said, I want to know what's in your heart, if you keep my commandments or not. But God knows what's there, but do we? And that becomes part of the difference. I love Psalm 119. I'll quickly read that and I'll be done. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Wow. And verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. I love what Paul said to the church at Corinth, and I will close with this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's the word of God, and it is non-negotiable. Paul reminded the church at Corinth that had enormous problems. God will make a way. And your part is to trust Him. For some of you today, maybe that way that needs to be made is the way of salvation. Maybe you're as lost as yesterday, and if you were honest with God and yourself, you'd have to say, there's never ever been a time in my life that I've asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe the greatest wilderness that you're wandering around in is the wilderness of lostness, and you need to give your life to Christ. Today's a great day for that. And He'd love for you to come to Him and be His child. Maybe you need to join His church. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need some time at these altars. They're wide open for you. Whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do, whatever level of conviction you deal with today, I pray that you would deal with that toward God and not away. Stand with me and we'll pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you are and all that you do. I thank you for these sweet people, Father, that we've been able to come this morning and praise you for the God that you are. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for everything you are and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?